Hit a Blog Talk Radio jingle and it didn't happen. Not quite sure why that happens sometimes and doesn't happen other times. This is Ulysses Butch Slaughter. You are tuned in to Yummy Liberation with Kelly V, locking down the truth. I expect for my girl Kelly V to join me any moment now. But you are tuned in to Yummy Liberation. This is the second installment of Yummy Liberation with Kelly V. That's Kelly Vandiver. Kelly will be joining me shortly. I am significantly still amped. Very excited about Sex and the Struggle. That went down this past weekend in Chester, PA, and it was everything that I thought it could be. And I know that there's so much more to come. I see some people saying to me, look, you got to do that again. I'm getting notes. I'm getting messages. I'm getting all kinds of responses from people that are saying, you got to do that again. And you better believe I am going to do it again. It is absolutely going to happen again. So sexandthestruggle.com is going to go live also. That's the other thing I should tell you. Sex and the Struggle is going to go live on the .com side. It's up. Okay, so I'm messing around with it a little bit. But the website is up. It is going to add to what's already going on. And I like being at a loss of words sometimes because I'm really excited about this project. I'm excited. I love the way it's come up. This is a great opportunity for me to thank some people like Tazima Davis, Frenchie Davis, David Freeman, Kelly, who'll be joining me in a moment. It's a great opportunity for me to thank people that have really shown up, believed in this thing called Sex and the Struggle, and it's live. I've got some video that I'm going to be posting on Sex and the Struggle's Facebook page once the sexandthestruggle.com is up and loaded. I'm going to post some things there as well. It's just a great moment for Sex and the Struggle. I'm starting to open up Sex and the Struggle to different avenues, meaning I have things that aside of events, we're going to be doing workshops and seminars. It just feels good. It feels good to be at this place where it's not just an idea anymore. I mean, it will remain an idea, of course, because the idea is ever growing and ever changing. But to be able to sit up on stage with people like Betsy Crane, my boy Eric Shamari Grimes, brother Shamari, to be able to spend time with Jules Purnell and Tony Rulo and Chichi Couture. I think I mentioned Rev Bev already. To be able to do that is, you got to see the video, and I don't think that even showing you the video won't give you the feeling what it was like to be there. This is why I'm going to do this thing every single month. I'm going to get this thing ramped up to do it every single month because I believe that there are a lot of people out there that want to see this, that want to be part of this. And I just think that it's the conversation, sex, intimacy, and pleasure. The conversation, speaking of which, great time for me to thank my girl Pleasure. Patty, Pleasure, Patricia, Harris, man, she showed up and it was just wonderful. My boy Devin Walls, thank you so much for getting Soul Street Lounge for us. There's just so many people to thank, so many great feelings around that whole experience. Again, I'm going to have a lot to say about that in the days to come. It's going to be a while before I come down off this high. So pardon my babbling. On one hand, I could care less about babbling because it's just what it is. It's what it feels like when you do something that you've been working your ass off for a long time and finally comes around that, hey, you know, I just pulled this idea off with the help of some incredible people. I think when you work hard, it's hard to go wrong. What you're going to do is you're going to learn some lessons. And I learned some lessons in that process, and that was cool too. But yeah, it was incredible to be in the room talking about the various things that we talked about, from consent, connection, choice, judgment, all the things we talked about. It was just, it was phenomenal. So I think I might see my sister joining me now. I'm going to pull my sister Kelly into the conversation. Bear with me just a moment here. Hello.
Hello.
Is this Kelly V?
It is me.
I was warming them up for you. I was like, she must be like primping because she don't like to come on the radio looking bad. She likes to look good when she's on.
I know. I was having technical difficulties. I'm sorry that I'm late. I'm sorry.
You are right on
late.
Time. You are right on time.
Good.
I was babbling about Sex and the Struggle. Kelly. The
oh
live
my gosh,
event.
I'm so excited to hear about the event.
It was so hot.
Perspectives there. Yeah.
Kelly, it was so
juicy.
Hot. It was, oh my God. I really haven't slept since Saturday. And I just love it. I was looking at the video today. I videotaped the whole thing, got some really great footage of the stage with these wonderful people contributing to this conversation. And I'm going to start making clips, different clips. Got to figure out what I want to do with it, because there are people that are asking to see the whole thing, and I got to figure out how I'm going to do that. I haven't figured it out, but I'm definitely going to drop it on a DVD, and I you got to check this out. I'm going to definitely send you a copy of it. You got to check this out. It can be done a million times.
Yeah. Oh, you mean like the Sex and the Struggle event?
Yeah. I mean, you know, so here's the beauty in it is that it had six primary guests. I had six primary guests this time around. And I had a particular audience. What I like about it is that you can change the stage guest. This time around, I had Jules Pernell, Tony Rulo. I had Betsy Crane, Eric Grimes, Chichi Couture, and Reverend Beverly Dill. Now, they were speaking to different aspects of sexuality, different perspectives, their individual journeys. To me, that's the good stuff, Kelly, is when you spend a lot of time.
That's the stuff I wanted to talk to you about today. I'm so excited to hear about
it. Yeah, that's the stuff that people really want to hear. They want to know your perspective, your experience.
Yeah.
Not so much, you know, what you read, right? People want to know what you lived, not what you read.
Exactly, yeah.
So I can switch the stage up. I can switch the people up there and get an entirely different thing. And I could bring new audience people into that same group of six people, right? It's like, you know, it's no different than going to a movie. It's the same movie, but different people coming to see the movie.
Yeah.
And I can change the cast in the movie, and I can bring new people in. I could go on forever about this, but it's good to hear your voice, sister.
Thank you. It's good to hear yours too. What was the audience like? What was your audience like?
It was made up of Chester is in. I'm sorry. Event was done in the city of Chester. Chester's about 15 miles southwest of Philadelphia. Now, not only did we do the event there, but Widener University is there. Widener University has a major claim to fame in the conversation of human sexuality. And that major claim to fame is that they have the only Center for Human Sexuality Studies in the country that offers a master's degree and a PhD in human sexuality. There's no other college university in the country. So being there, we were able to attract a number of Widener students who wanted to come and check out Sex and the Struggle. So we had students, we had practitioners. I think more than anything, we had new interested audience members who are not used to this conversation. And I got to tell you, Kelly, my 17-year-old daughter, I took my 17-year-old daughter. I have a 17-year-old daughter who I say to people, I want my daughter, I want my daughters, I want my sons to engage high-level conversations, intimate conversations, sooner rather than later. And I think at the age of 17, it's not too soon for me, even as her father. People sometimes will put this on the mom and say, well, if it's a girl, it should be the mother. As her father, I think that I can begin to bring her into that. So she was in the room when all of this was going on.
Good. That's
Kelly, I got to tell you this one thing, though, this one thing. And I know this is yummy liberation.
Tell me.
The word pussy dropped, I don't know how many times in that room. And I was like, every now and then, I was in the conversation, and then every now and then I'd look up and see my daughter in the back, and I'd be like, oh, shit. Oh, my God. And then there were other things they had talked about.
So that was your daddy, like, oh, shit, we're saying pussy in front of my daughter.
That was it. We talking, people talking about the nerve endings on clitorises, and I was like, oh, my God.
Well, she needed to learn it from someone.
I agree. And, I, you know, I started at the beginning. I told people, I said, you know, her, my good friend, who is her godfather, was in the room and on the stage with me. Another good family friend was in the room. There were a number of good friends of mine in the room, as well as some people that I have high regard for. So where better to hear this than from this room of people that I know, love, and respect, and for me to be in this room?
Yeah. Safest place. Yeah.
Oh, Kelly V, I'd like to believe you are right. I've been debriefing since. Okay. I've been debriefing with her for the last 2 days. Every now and then, like, are you okay? Are you okay? You still love me?
So what does she say? What does she say? Like, what did she say about the whole event? Like, have you guys talked about that? Or is she, like, being a teenager and, like...
Nah.
So what
I took
is
her
she
out,
saying?
I took her out for dessert. You know, I had to take her out, you know, soften her up
dessert.
A little bit. Yeah, dessert. You know, I took her out for some chocolate cake. You know, you can't go cheap when you had trying to have a particular kind of conversation. So I asked her, you know, about the different things, the different parts of the conversation that she liked.
Mm-hmm.
She told me about, you know, she liked the intensity. She liked when she could tell that people were getting upset with one another. And there were times when people were, I'm talking about not in the audience. I'm talking about on the stage.
People who were difference of opinion.
Yes. Difference. Mm-hmm. We had some juicy differences of opinion, Kelly.
I gotta see it. So what was through the conversation, so tell me more. So your daughter said she liked that part of it. She liked the intensity to see the difference in opinion between the people on the stage. What else did she like?
She liked the difference of opinion. She liked the honesty.
Okay.
She really liked the honesty. She liked that people were talking openly and honestly. She was sitting in a particular part of the audience where she said there was some woman, and I have some ideas to who it was, who was taking real exception with things that Reverend Beverly Dale was saying about sex and spirituality. I don't know if you're familiar with Reverend Beverly Dale, but she is a sex positive pastor. She's a Christian pastor, and she talks about fucking. She talks about the importance of sex and spirituality and how you can't break those two things up. And I think it was wonderful. So Jordan, my daughter, is back there listening to someone saying, you know, she ain't talking about my Jesus. So, you know, there's somebody in the back saying that ain't the Jesus that I know and love and serve and that kind of thing.
Wait, there were people actually saying that?
I couldn't hear him from where I was on the stage, but I guess within the audience, if you're close enough to hear somebody complain, you can hear that. But there was somebody in the audience taking exception with Reverend Beverly's interpretation of Jesus's love for sex and his love for whores and his love for drunks and his love for, you know.
Oh, I love. Yeah. Yeah. I love that shit. That's awesome. People really don't know Jesus for real. It sounds like she dropped the truth.
She was bringing it. She was really, really bringing it. And everybody was really, really bringing it. And what was interesting also is that this was the first time that we've done it. And the guest on the – I didn't call them a panel, Kelly, because I didn't really view them as a panel. They were the people who thought about sex and sexual healing and social healing. These were people that I knew thought about this day and night. Some thought about social healing more than others. Some were clear. Like my good friend was like, look, you know, I've had a lot of sex in my life, but I don't talk about it as much as you all do. He was very clear about that. But what was funny to me is that as he started to get into the conversation, he was going away from what he normally does, and that is like political commentary type shit, into some of his personal stuff. So, you know, he said, you know, that he had a challenge. He had a real reaction to his girlfriend asking him to spank her ass. He was like, you know, it bothers me when she says that. And
really?
For a lot of reasons.
That's interesting.
So here's the thing. This is what I, you know, when I talk about this sex and the struggle thing. So if your girlfriend, your woman, the woman you're intimate with is saying, spank me, and you go inside and start thinking about, you know, if she's been traumatized or what this means to Black people and all of that stuff, what are you missing here? And and why is it labeled that way?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah. So he was on the stage too.
He was on the stage too, and this is my daughter's godfather. That was the other funny part about it. So he up there on the stage with his goddaughter out there, talking about his woman.
Was he afterwards like, "Sorry, goddaughter"?
I don't think I saw an apology. I don't think I saw an apology. No. And then he went even further.
Interesting.
He went even further to talk about how he liked his nipples being sucked. And again, you know, when people start to talk, Kelly, you know how it is. If you sink into certain truths, you're really sinking into them authentically, you lose sense of your surroundings, because surroundings aren't supposed to adjust your truth. Your truth is more important than the surroundings, right? So he lost track of where he was and what was going on and who was in the room. He was just speaking his truth. And that's all we asked anybody to do that day. That's all we wanted. Speak your truth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
that's awesome.
I think it's so crazy.
Cool you had so many different people up there and truths and opinions, and I can't wait to see the kerfuffle. Like, I can't wait to see who had the difference in opinion and who was like getting heated. Nobody like yelled at each other, right? Everyone was respectful.
No. I wouldn't say that, Kelly. We had, you know what? There was intensity, but there was not disrespect.
Okay, good. Cool.
Which was really cool. You know, so there were confrontations without any sense that there was going to be any extra unnecessary bullshit. And again, I trusted the people that I bought in. What I like, though, was that the audience had a chance to see these pros, these people who are experienced, get naked in their truth with one another. That's right. It wasn't like they were pontificating to the audience. They were going at it with one another. You know, sometimes you'll see something where somebody stands up in the audience and somebody from the stage will try to put that person in place.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine two people on the stage doing that with one another. Not necessarily trying to put the other in their place, but trying to understand the other person's position.
Mm-hmm.
That shit was hot. Look.
Mm. Yeah. It is hot. It's very hot. Yeah.
I think
it's awesome.
I just sent out a message to Betsy Crane, who is a distinguished, I love Betsy to death. She's the distinguished professor of human sexuality at the Center for Human Sexuality Studies at Widener. And I want to follow up by doing a screening of this video on their campus. And so I'm looking at her response to me. We're going to find a way to take this video to the campus so that we can share it part of the class, as part of their class. What I'm really hoping to be able to do is get them really bought into what we're doing and help to produce these, you know, these real live kind of survey research opportunities, which is what they amount to. So, but anyway,
mm-hmm. This is so cool. I mean, I could talk about this stuff all day long. Couldn't you? I think it's just interesting as fuck.
I could. And mm-hmm. I didn't want it to come to an end. I keep getting messages from people saying, you know, give us more. Oh, Kelly, I got to tell you this. Mm. Oh, my God.
Tell me.
Wait a minute. Hey, did you see the video of me getting rigged? The rope rig thing?
Rigged.
Did you see that? I posted it on Facebook.
You mean the rope?
Yes.
I saw pictures and you looked uncomfortable in them, but I did not see a video. Did you post the video?
I posted the video too. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I need to go look for it.
Well, the woman who she considers herself a rigger. She uses rope and she rigs people with rope. Well, Stacy is her name. Stacy was there and Stacy had one of her student, I forgot the term she used, but she had somebody, an experienced person that she plays with. And so Stacy did a demonstration and Stacy tied rope. And what was so interesting is the impact that it had on a couple of people on the stage. Some people were loving it. And not to, you know, keep talking about my daughter's godfather, but he had a particular fucking reaction to the rope. He was like, you know, in Black history, rope has a particular meaning for Black folks and you ain't gonna be putting over, you know, all that stuff.
Okay.
And then other people were like, look, it's just a fucking rope. And if you can take the power back, if you can deal with that rope in the context that is being used, you will find something else in that rope other than your interpretation or your relationship to history in, you know, strange fruit hanging from trees, you know?
So do you think that, well, I'm glad he was open about that. Do you, so do you feel like when he says that he really did he say that, like, was he like, hey, you know, for Black people the history with rope, and did he actually go into all of that? Do you think that it really is that, or do you think he was using that as a cover for being, you know, he's very much in his masculine and he's very much in his way of, in his mind, this is how sex looks for me and this is how it should go. And ropes are weird and they're awkward. So I'm going to, because I ask this because I've experienced it before with clients that I've worked with. So same thing. And when I pose the question, the man is like, you know, I've never really thought of that, but now that you ask that question, yeah, for me, it's more awkward than it is a historical thing for me. And he just, like, told the truth for him in the moment.
Yeah.
So I wonder about that, you know?
Yeah. I don't know if a question was posed to him about that, but now that you bring it up, I can see how – again, it could become a very personal, masculine thing for him. And sometimes people will use the cover of history. This is what Sex and the Struggle for me is all about. It's about knowing where to draw a necessary line between social shit and sexual, independent, intimate stuff. And it would have been interesting to see him get challenged on that. You know, and look, are you speaking about your feelings as a man? Are you afraid of this as a man? And are you using the historical context as a fucking way to get out of this conversation?
Right. And so did anyone – so because you had mentioned that – I don't know if someone posed it to him. Like, if you can take back some control and just make this about – the rope and the experience of it, you can find something different in it. Did anyone say that to him so he could think about it in a different way? Okay.
Yes.
What did he say?
Yes. I'd have to go back and look at the tapes. And I'm so glad I got all this shit on the tapes. Cause, you know, I could sit up here and try to remember and be wrong and misrepresent a dude I would not want to misrepresent. But
right. No.
So much juicy shit. And when you talk about yummy liberation.
That is yummy liberation. That really is yummy liberation for sure. All those perspectives on the stage. And that's really like sex needs to be the conversation. It really is the elephant in the fucking room. It is. It's the elephant in the room. And I just always want to just call people out on it. I promise. Anytime there is an event or a party or a something that I get invited to or a brunch or whatever, sex always ends up being the topic of conversation if I am there. And everyone loves it. Everyone loves it because it needs to be spoken about. It just does.
Mm.
It needs to be main place.
Sister. I've been in a lot of settings before. I'm sure if I took the time to think about it, that I'd say, you know what, that reminds me of blah 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 blah. I gotta tell you, Kelly, I don't remember this kind of thing. I don't remember ever being in a space like this with this type of thing going on, this type of feeling that I had. The elements
what
that
was
were
the feeling that you had?
It was the feeling of everybody felt vulnerable. Everybody was taking a chance. And see, a lot of the times, people at the front of the room, they manage the front of the room. They act like they know it all. And so there's no vulnerability from the front of the room. There's no surrender from the front of the room. You're pontificating, you're the professor, you're, you know, all of that kind of stuff. I liked the feeling was I was always on edge. I was never comfortable with what might happen. Now, you're talking to the dude. No, I wasn't, Kelly. You're talking to the dude who, you know, spent months putting this shit together. And, you know, on one level, you'd like to think, you know, what somebody could ask you, what are the outcomes? What do you hope? I don't fucking know. You know, I wanted some people to talk about some stuff, but I'm telling you, Kelly, it was like the best fucking sex ever. It was like
best sex ever. Oh no.
I felt like a voyeur. You know,
that's
like
awesome.
it was and I hope that my esteemed guests who hear this will understand this in the spirit that I mean. It was like a fucking orgy.
Okay. All right. Very cool.
Where you didn't know who was going to be with who was going to get with who, what was going to set somebody off. You had just enough people up there and the right mixture of people.
Okay.
To create an unpredictable kind of situation.
And it just flowed.
It flowed. And the other thing I liked about it, I told someone, you know, that I was attempting to orchestrate where I could, but what I didn't want to do was manipulate. I didn't want to be trying to control people's energy and control people's emotion and, you know, all right, let's take a break right here. It flowed. It didn't really require my moderation.
That's awesome.
It just was kind of in and out.
Yeah. It took on its own agenda.
It did. And because they were all new to one another, they looked like they were kind of playing nice in the beginning.
Okay.
And then they played nice in the beginning, and then it was more okay, now I'm kind of feeling you out. I'm kind of, you know, when you're in a conversation with somebody for a period of time, you kind of get their style. It's like boxers and fighters say this a lot of the times. You know, they see somebody's rhythm, they get somebody's cadence, they get somebody's kind of thing, and then that's when they feel like, okay, I get where you're coming from because I've been listening to you, and now I'm going to jump in on here. And that's what it felt like. People were like, all right, I heard you. Now I'm going to jump in. Now I'm going to challenge you on this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Sister.
That's so awesome.
I wish
I'd been there. I would have challenged everyone.
You would remember Tazima, you know, when you came on Sex and the Struggle a couple weeks ago, Tazima was, I wanted Tazima to be in there on, we were going to get her in on FaceTime, and it was just so many things that were going technically, structurally off course that I just couldn't pull her in. I was going to put her up on a screen and, you know, project her image and let her be part of the conversation, you know, like some satellite stuff, you know. I just couldn't make it happen. But the way it turned out extremely well. It turned out very well. And, you know, I think there's a need for us to come in your direction as soon as possible. I think I got to be there.
As soon as possible. Yes. We have to figure that out. Because it looked like the venue, we'll talk about it. Yeah, because it looks like the venue wasn't a ginormo venue. Because I'm thinking like hundreds of people. Think of that kind of thing. But yeah, how many people came?
We had about 75.
That's awesome.
It was so intimate. You know, I wanted. I was thinking at one point, you know, it would be cool to have 150, 200 people. And we were pushing for those numbers. I'm glad I stopped pushing after a while.
As I was pushing
for those numbers, I was in and out of the venue. And I thought, I don't want this to feel like an auditorium. I want this to feel like a living room. I want it to feel like you're in somebody's house. And that's what it felt like. That's exactly
intimate conversations. Yeah. Yeah, because it's such a, sex is like that thing that people have to feel really safe, and they have to trust that it's safe to talk about. And I feel like in a large, big space that's so open, yeah, I think that, I mean, just from the looks of the venue, it was perfect. Something more intimate and small.
It felt incredible. I just cannot take all of the credit for the way it came together. I can take credit for how bad I wanted it. I wanted it really bad. And the venue was perfect. It did. It happened. And if I have my druthers, that's the way it's going to happen again. That's exactly how it's going to happen again. So,
that's so awesome.
When I think,
congratulations.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I want to point to where locking down the truth in Yummy Liberation is so informative regarding what was going on. There were people in that room who had certain experiences, who have had certain experiences prior to coming into that room. And I could see and I could hear, judging from the conversations that I did some ear hustling afterward, listening to some people's conversation, and people who talked to me, I could hear that people had heard in those 2 hours things that they'd never heard before.
Mm.
Never heard. And so the point I'm getting at is, like the woman who was making all of these conversations about her God and her God, that
who
ain't her Jesus.
That?
My daughter did. Jordan
oh,
came
she
to
heard
me.
All that. Okay, got it.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So when we're talking about locking down the truth, I think that there's a couple of ways that I can look at that. One is locking it down as if to say pinpointing it, right? Like we're going to pinpoint the truth. And then the other way of looking at it is locking it down as if putting it in a box, which we know is really not possible, but it's like trying to trap the truth, locking it down in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And some people try to lock it down in that way. No, we don't want to do that. Some people try, though.
Yeah, they try. It is very, it's fucking ingrained. That's why. Yeah.
And I think it's because people are afraid. I think that people are afraid, like, oh my God, Kelly. I could probably go on forever about this, just like you said. I could talk about this forever.
Yeah, me too. I could talk about it forever too. It's so interesting. Like there, I mean, people are afraid, and it's beyond the sexual trauma, right, that people experience, that women and men experience when they're boys and they're girls. And it's beyond any trauma. I believe that everyone experiences sexual trauma, whether it's, you know, by brute force and it's horrific, or mom and dad just didn't lock down the truth when you were younger and let you know about sexuality. I believe that there's all different forms of trauma. And so, like the woman that you're describing at the Sex and the Struggle event, what was it? There's this pastor, and I'm thinking of this as an example, but it's this opinion is rampant in the Black community. And I know this because my husband's Black. We have these conversations all the time, and he explains things to me in a way that I could never understand because I'm white. And so we have these conversations, and anyway, there's this pastor, and he was on some sort of show, and it was like a Christian network, whatever. And he's married to an actress. She's really beautiful. And they wrote this book together, something about the weight or something. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know exactly what you're talking. Yeah, because Frenchie talks about this a lot. Yeah, the actress's name is, it'll come to me in a minute, but
Megan.
She was more Megan Good.
Megan Good, yeah. So she's really beautiful. He's a really good-looking guy. They're married and all that, right? And they're on this show together. And this woman in the audience comes up, and she's asking Megan Good, just totally being, in my opinion, a judgmental bitch. And she's like, "You are so beautiful, Megan. You are so beautiful." I mean, totally passive-aggressive. "You're so beautiful, Megan. You know, I almost didn't come to this. But you know what? The Lord told me that I needed to come." Now, mind you, this is not word for word. This is just my interpretation of it. And she was like, "You know, I almost didn't come. I'm so glad. I love your story. I love your testimony. It's so great. You're so beautiful. You're just beautiful. But, we're, you know, I go by the store and I see you on the magazine cover. So you're gonna start to cover that stuff up, right? You're going to start to cover that up because God doesn't like that." And it was some version of that. And she was basically just talking about the way Megan dresses, okay? Just talking about the way she dresses. She's showing what the fuck ever, right? And so this woman is calling her out and, like, making an ass of herself, trying to call her out and make her feel bad or less than because of the way she dresses. Anyway, her husband, who's a pastor, totally was like, "Uh-uh, no." You've never seen this, Ulysses?
Didn't sound familiar to me at all.
Okay, well, I'll have to send you the link. But he totally goes off on the woman, like, in front of the whole audience. And you're talking, there are lots of people in this audience. And he was like, "No, uh-uh, wait a minute. You know, God loves her. God says she can dress whatever way she wants, and we are not doing that, blah, 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 blah." Anyway, he totally, like, you know, stuck up for her and all that. But the point is this is like, this sexuality thing is like just off the list of topic of conversation. It's bad. It's shameful. And the only way ever that it is ever even admissible, or that's not even the right word. Yeah, it is, right?
It is.
Yeah, the only way it's ever proper is if you're married and you can have sex then, but you can't talk about it because it's bad, it's shameful, and it just is inappropriate to talk about. It's just ingrained.
Yes, ingrained. It is.
And the fear, I don't even think it's fear. I think people perpetuate it because of their own fear of going to fucking hell or being judged by their peers.
The way you said that. They're going hell. They're going to fucking hell. I mean, like, that actually doesn't sound like a bad place to go. As far as, I mean, the way you just said it, if it's fucking hell, that's where I want to go. If it's non fucking hell, I don't want to go there. You know,
I don't want to go to that hell. I want to go to the fucking hell, right? yeah,
the one where they fuck.
All you do is fuck all day long. Yes. Everlasting orgasm. But yeah, so I think it's more fear of that they're going to say something wrong that's not acceptable in their culture or within their church or within whatever. And if you don't perpetuate the whole God and Jesus says this about sex, and it's just bullshit. It's just bullshit. And the thing about it is, if you go and you read the Bible, and this shit, it doesn't exist in the Bible. It's not in there.
That's what Beverly Crane was saying.
So, yeah, it's not.
I'm sorry, Beverly Dale, the pastor.
Beverly Dale. Mm-hmm.
You got Bessie and Beverly confused.
I got them. Yeah, I got them mixed up. Hybrid.
Mixed up.
Yeah.
But yeah, so if you go and you look in the Bible, it doesn't say anything about that. It doesn't say anything like what is perpetuated and portrayed, and it's just crazy. So, yeah, I think it's fear of not fitting in. And again, living in that old paradigm of let me fit into this little fucking box and be a watered-down version of myself, just sort of like existing. And let's not talk about sex, even though everyone fucking does it and everyone wants it. And it's healing.
God.
And I'm going to totally deny this part of myself.
I love what you just said. Everybody wants it. And when you were talking earlier about, you know, you go on to the parties, you go on, you could go anywhere, the grocery store, you know, a sporting event, everywhere you go, it's there, very visible for those who can see. And the subtleties of it is in every fucking conversation you have. It's like it's
always
there.
Bring it up. I always
bring
it
up.
Nobody brings it. I bring it up.
Yeah.
I bring it up. And I do it on purpose. I do it on purpose. It's almost like the event that you had the other night, Sex and the Struggle, I bring that fucking event every motherfucking place I go. And it's different every time.
You sound so mean right now, Kelly. You just go around torturing people. You just go in the rooms. You be standing in an elevator with 20 people talking about sex. You just say it out of nowhere. Sex.
Well, if the elevator got stuck or something like that, it would definitely be up for conversation. Yeah.
For sure. It'd be funny as hell. You know, that's a great video. That's a great video. You get in the elevator, it gets stuck.
That was a good video.
You say sex. And you look around and you see all the faces of people going, no, no, let me out of here. Let me out of here.
We don't want to talk about this.
We don't want to talk about it. We're stuck. Please get us out of here. And then the elevator goes down, because down is where you find fucking hell, right? It only gets worse in this clip. That's funny. Well, we're on to something, sister, because I agree with you. I think it is. It is the liberating conversation. When you talk about yummy liberation,
yummy.
I think people are really dying, literally dying. I mean that shit, not metaphorically. I mean that shit, literally dying.
You're right. Physically, yes.
Yes, physically. Mm-hmm. Physically, intellectually, emotionally, people are dying because they will not. They won't go back to the source of it all. I said this from the stage the other day. I'm like, how is it that you enter this place, this realm, through the door of sex, and then forget what fucking door you came in through? Tell me how you do that shit.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. You that's because you didn't forget. You're pretending like you don't know. And everybody walks
They're
around
unwilling.
Pretending.
Yeah. Yep. It's annoying as fuck. I know. Like, it's
it is.
Why I have very few friends that live near me. I live in the South, so, you know, it's, like, really crazy here. But, all of my friends, like, close friends live, like, either West Coast or, like, Upper East Coast. Like, and I have a few friends here in the South that are like me. But, numbers.
We got to do this, Kelly. We got to turn this motherfucker on his head. It's time for this shit to come to an end. It's time for it to come to an end.
It is time. It is.
You know, we'll deal with the government, because I know we're going to be spied on and – you're going to be called all kind of terrorist names. I'm just saying,
don't
it's going
say
down. Okay, I take
I'm
it back.
I'm not
going
to be put on the red list. I don't think I can be put on the red list because,
why?
Like, I'm related to the Bushes. So I think automatically, like, I'm on the good list.
Really?
And then if you're friends with me, then you're on the good list too.
What about friends of friends of yours?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm making this up.
I get it, but I just figured I'd go along. I'm going to go along with it.
Yeah. 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 I'm cousins to the Bushes. I don't know if it's like, I don't know which cousins, but I am.
Do you know which Bushes,
though? It's totally an embarrassing fact. Huh?
Do you know which Bushes? I mean,
yeah,
mean
like
the Bushes?
The Bushes, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like Jeb?
I don't know. I think, like, just honestly, I don't know. But I'm cousins with them. That's all I know. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. But I always use that and hold that in my mind, is that, like, I can never be put on the bad red list of annihilation.
Really? So
mm-hmm.
if you ever get stopped, like the police, would you say that? Like,
no.
Let me go,
yeah.
motherfucker.
Yeah.
I'm related to the Bushes.
No. This is some, like, helicopter came to my house or something and, like landed, you know, and tried to, like, take me away for, like, talking about open, like, sexuality and stuff like that, sexual
right.
healing. Then I would use it then. I would use it then. But not for traffic stops. I would just show my tits, and that works.
I'll bet that,
you know,
works.
Just cleavage. I don't have to show nipple, just cleavage, and it works every
right.
time. My blue eyes, it works. I don't need the claim to the Bush
wow.
cousinhood then. Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Well, you know what? I think you play your cards right. I think it's like, you
Thanks.
Know, any tool that we've got. You don't use
mm-hmm.
a hammer to take a screwdriver out, right? It
yeah,
is a tool.
Yeah.
But you save the
mm-hmm.
hammers for nails. You use the screwdriver
mm-hmm.
for screws. So I'm following
yeah,
you. It sounds like you've got this all figured out.
Cops, you just have to be super nice. Don't piss them off, because all of them have issues, most of them anyway. And you just play their game. Just be nice to them. You just show them your boob,
mm-hmm.
your cleavage. Bend over, whatever, you know. It's
what do
fine.
I show them then? What would you recommend that I show them?
You would have to hope and pray that you either get a woman who's, like, heterosexual or a dude that's gay.
And in those cases, what do I show?
You just show them your pretty smile.
Here we go. All right. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have to, like, loosen up my top button. Okay.
I don't know. I don't know how guys flirt with other...
You know what?
Guys.
I'm swearing to you, if that ever happens, I'm going to loosen up the top button. I just want to see.
Okay.
And maybe I'll go live on FaceTime or something. I don't know. Maybe not. Anyway, I wanted to hit one other thing here. We got about 5 minutes. First of all, it's a pleasure to be doing this with you. It happens. It's, just get used to it. It's going to happen this way. We're going to start talking about fucking hell.
I have like a whole fucking list of shit to talk about, and I'm like, it's almost over.
Well, you know what? You can that until next week, because we will be back next week at the same time with Yummy
yes.
Liberation, because we have to lock down the truth every week. And
lock it down.
When I was in the whole Sex and the Struggle event over the weekend, I was listening to people. They were trying desperately to find something to hold on to. People want some kind of truth to hold on to. And I said, I think I said at the beginning of the session, I have to go back and look at the film, but I'm pretty sure I said something like, there's no one truth fits all. So what feels
yeah.
good to one person doesn't necessarily feel good to another person. That doesn't mean that it doesn't feel good to somebody. Just because it doesn't feel good to you doesn't mean it doesn't feel good to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we're talking about locking down the truth, I ask you, to what extent is it really about locking down the individual, locking down, in this case, you work with a lot of women, a lot of moms. How do you get them to understand what it means to lock down their truth? And we can pick this up next week, but I'm just curious, mm-hmm. because there's no one truth fits all, how do you get them to lock down their individual truth and know that it is true?
Mm-hmm. I keep preaching the truth, which is...
That's a start.
Yeah, I keep preaching the truth of you can't deny your sexual sovereignty because you're fucking here, period. You can't deny your sexual sovereignty because you are here. You're a human being. You came here because your parents fucked, and, like, that is a truth. You can't deny that. Okay, and then the other thing that I preach, and I guess I just keep preaching because I know eventually it'll reach them. And it's, I keep reminding them that at the end of the day, if they can just stand in owning their bodies and their sexuality and their voices a little bit at a time, without guilt and without shame, and I get them to work through what's going on in their heads. And a lot of this is done through mindset work, through journaling, through meditation. And if they can get their thoughts out and see their thoughts on paper and separate themselves from the actual thought itself, it begins
right.
to work.
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
If they can separate and they can see on paper these words that have been in their fucking brain, and they
right.
look at the words and they go, oh, okay, this isn't me. This is just words. This is a thought.
Right.
And it's
right.
a pattern of thought that they were programmed with. And
right.
so the more I can get them to realize that these are just things that they were programmed with from their parents and then their environmental upbringing, they learn to stand more in their sexual sovereignty every single day. And
yeah.
it's a process. You have to
yeah.
unprogram in order to reprogram.
Yeah, yeah. I like what you're saying. We talk a lot about practice and process go hand in hand. Now you have to be into a committed, you have to be committed to the development of something, the exploration. You
yes.
got to get on that path. Yes. And I
commitment
think
commitment is huge.
Yeah,
yes.
yeah. I think what you're saying about the fact that you're here, I just like people need to get that one right there, Kelly V. People need to get that you showed up. You are actually taking up space in the universe
mm-hmm.
as the creature that you are. And as
yes.
you're taking up space, you're legitimate at a very high level. You are a legitimate piece of space and time.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, you have a truth that lives with you, through you. And owning that,
yeah.
it's like saying connecting to yourself. Own that you are legitimate.
I know.
It's just like...
And you'd be surprised, or maybe you wouldn't, that, you know, a lot of the women that I work with, these are high-level you know, CEOs, women who are making 7 figures a year, and they are they feel completely dead inside around their sexuality. And
yeah.
I mean, these are leaders, and they're
yeah.
leading without having a grasp of their own sexuality.
60.
And I'm thinking, how much more awesome, like, would this world be if these leaders were standing in their sexual sovereignty and they were lighting up in that way? It would give so many other people permission to do the same. And so it is time. It is definitely time. It's been time.
Mm. All right, sister, how can people find you outside of Yummy Liberation here on Sex and the Struggle? What do people have to do to find you?
KellyVandiver.com. And you can find me on Facebook. I am on Facebook at Kelly Vandiver.
And you will be back with me next week, right?
I'll be back.
we'll be together.
And we'll talk about all the stuff that I, all the juicy stuff that my ladies have been writing in and asking me about. So I can't wait to get your perspective on that as well and have that conversation.
And so it is. Thank you so much, Kelly V. I look to talk to you next week.
Thank you. Okie doke.
And to all you wonderful people out there listening, this is Ulysses Butch Slaughter with Kelly V. Yummy Liberation here on Sex and the Struggle. We're going to do this again and again. But right now, Kelly V, I'm going to see if I can find fucking hell. I will talk with you. the emphasis was wrong. I'm going to see if I can find fucking hell.
Fucking hell.
And I'll let you know. I'll send you a map if it doesn't get burned on how to get there.
Okay. Awesome. Looking forward to it.
Have a wonderful afternoon.
You too. Bye, everyone.
All right. Goodbye.